And in our little exercise of late, looking at the God's wonderful person to give us his wonderful benefits. You can't enjoy and have the benefit of being born physically apart from the Lord. God has created us in his image and likeness. He gave us physical birth in order to have spiritual birth, in order to have all the intended blessings that God has in mind before anything was ever created. And you can't have those benefits apart from God's saving grace. And you can't have those benefits. Christ had to die and rise again and be seated at the right hand of God. And none of that is usable. None of that can be experienced apart from the Spirit of God. So therefore, we share together in chapter 7, and I'll just read it again. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man, they may or may not, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You have to get saved to be saved. You have to understand you need to be saved. Christ died on the cross to save us. And becoming saved, you need to enjoy the benefits of being saved. Being saved, and now enjoy being saved. Exercise the life, the benefits of being saved. Therefore, you have to thirst. You have to want that. You have to see it. You have to understand it. And you have to thirst for it. What do I mean? You want it. You desire it with all your heart. And in doing this, that, you're going to look for God, and you're going to come to God and look to God and drink, and God, you're going to receive all that God has in mind for us. And to put that together in the scripture, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become children of God, as being saved. 1:16, and God, we have received grace for grace in place of grace. That's thirsting, to have something. God gave it, and now God provides you an endless supply of that relationship. So, and therefore, that can only, and it is going to produce, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. A wonderful, wonderful the inflow must outflow, or else no flow. So God's gonna bless the heart as we go down the corridor of time. And none of that, he said, is possible until he goes to the cross and dies. And he has to die on the cross to make it all real and valid for us. So therefore, that's what he's going to do. And then he says, then you can have, verse 39, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. So what we're trying to do just at this point is to lock in. A, you're created to enjoy the benefits of God's wonderful eternal person. B, Christ had to go to the cross and die. You can't have the benefits until the penalty has been paid. Christ took our sin in his own body on the tree and paid the penalty. Having paid the penalty, and we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now we need to enjoy what God has made possible at such a high cost, the cost of his own death in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the Spirit of God's ministry, that's his job now to make that real. All that we said isn't going to go anywhere without the Spirit of God. Therefore, putting A, so you have it, over to the Gospel of Luke. And our Lord, after his resurrection, said to them, remember they had 40 days, etc., this Christ before the Spirit of God could come, Pentecost. So therefore, chapter 24, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you. The promise of the Father, John 14, 16, 17, 17. The Spirit of God, God the Father and God the Son are going to send the Spirit of God. So therefore, verse 49, he told them, promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Wait there, don't go anywhere, don't even think of doing anything, until you be endued, clothed with power from on high. You need the life power. That's what we just did. Now, and then you add, so there's no question why it's Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, you recall in verse 4, and being Acts 1, 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait, that's what Luke 24, but wait for the promise of the Father, which we just read, in which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized, identified, made real, to be identified with the reality. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So we know there's power. The power belongs and is going to come from the Spirit of God. Verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, no question. Promise, Spirit of God. Spirit of God's is going to, God the Father is going to fulfill the promise because of the work of God the Son, and the Spirit of God's going to be able to do the work. So when you come to chapter 2, and in verse 1, the day of Pentecost, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, which is what God had promised, and you had to wait for that. Nothing can happen until that happens. So the Spirit of God's ministry, when you receive Christ as your Savior, is to make all of that real and possible. Verse 4 again, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, languages. Remember now, here's the day of Passover. They're coming from all over Africa, Europe, they're coming to the Passover. They speak many dialects, many languages. And as you keep reading in Acts chapter 2, they all heard in their own language the things of God. That's awesome, because they're all speaking, and yet everyone pinned down what they said. Here you speak Chinese, and in the midst of everything else going on, you heard, not confused, you heard it in Chinese. You heard it. God did that. Everyone heard. Now, so that's the Spirit of God's ministry. I just did that to remind myself and you. Just the factual relationship, that's all. Why it is. So it just is. So now what am I going to do with it? Over to the book of Romans again. And Romans in chapter 15. And you will note, we did all this last time a little bit. I'm just picking it up and going to add to it if I can. So, chapter 15, going directly, if I can, over to verse 13, in the light of the context. Now, the God of hope, the God of hope. Remember the end of verse 4, chapter 15, verse 4, the end of verse 4, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God gives us word, and God is going to be the God of hope, gives you the word so you understand hope. Verse 13, 15, 13. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? That reason. You may abound in hope. We just did that Wednesday. Full of hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, what are you saying? So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring the omnipotence of God, the power of God, the endless power of God to do and be whatever is needed. Now, and add to that what you hear in chapter 15, go to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, picking up, if I may, in verse 25, you'll catch it. 16 and 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. The mystery, you know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. No one ever heard, no one could ever believe or understand such things. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, having said that, God's awesome power to make happen whatever needs to happen in heaven and earth and under the earth. So, now, having said that, go over, if we can, to Ephesians. And all I'm going to do just now for a minute or two is just to remind you can't turn the pages of the New Testament without seeing it again and again and again. It is so important and so relevant. It involves us to the fullest degree in every area, any area, every area. So, Ephesians. And picking up, please, in chapter 1, verse 19. In the light of the context. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Power. God's awesome, awesome power. Chapter 3. Just picking chapter 3, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, said Paul, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. How did Paul be the apostle to the Gentiles? How could he do and be what he did? God gave him that. If God doesn't give it, you and I don't have it. You can't earn it. You don't go to school for it. You don't know. It's just something God does. And when God does, he does. And he doesn't do it based on anything we think that we earned, that we should get it, we merit it. No, God just does it. So, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And the word might is the same word, dunamis, power, power, power. God's awesome power. So God, and verse 20, which you know, wonderful. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's awesome, awesome power to do whatever has to be done is there. Whatever. And just turn your pages. So, boy, God is able to do and be everything that needs to be done, all that needs to be done to make it happen. So, are we going to be dependent? Yes. Yes, we're going to be dependent upon the Spirit of God. And we have to understand that. It isn't going to be of our old nature. No, it's going to be because of God's grace. So, Philippians chapter 3. And you will notice in Philippians in chapter 3, picking up if I may. And chapter 3, going if I can to verse, remember Paul is looking, he evaluates his life, and he had from a human standpoint, he was highly educated, he was a Roman citizen, he was a Pharisee, Jew, Gentile, rich, Roman citizen, knowledge, he had all knowledge, best schools. And what did he say? And you know it. Verse 7, 3 and 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All that was about me. It isn't about me. It isn't about us. It's about God's wonderful saving grace. So, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, I don't mind at all, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. They're waste. What good did it do? I got 10 trophies for football, I believe. I was the champion of something. And then you get old and all you can do is look at your trophies. Now, what good are the trophies going to do? Now, it was good you had them. It was an interesting, wonderful life you had from a football standpoint. But what's football going to do? There's no football in heaven. No football in heaven. And God just says, I don't care about football, baseball, or basketball. It's about me, said God, about my son. And therefore, it didn't do me any good. Waste. I'm looking to take something about me, about my world, and make it savable. How's that? Something about me, education, background, awards, whatever. Here I am, and all that I do to have recognition, prominence, etc. And that can be done in a good way. And we have all of that. But all of that is about earth and us. And it doesn't do me one drop of good to get saved. Not one drop of good. So Paul says, I count it as waste. That doesn't mean you don't do it. You're just not looking for it. It doesn't give you any credentials, period. No flesh shall glory in my presence. So I got to get that. So God, Spirit of God says it. You got a thirst, come and drink in order to have the life flow. and the Spirit of God's ministry is to do it. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. God's going to do it. So therefore, Hebrews 10, 3 and 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's what I want. I want to know him in the power. That's what you read in Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 17, 18, 19. What did you read? The Spirit of God, the power is given to us by way of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes our life in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, going to drive it home again. Over if I can, 2 Corinthians, as you know, and 2 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 9, picking up that which you're familiar with, verse 8. And God, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God, in the light of the context, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, not sometimes, you always, having all sufficiency, you always have enough, in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able, there's your little word, God is able, power, ability, as we did last time. So, God is able to make all grace abound to us. And while you're here, go over to chapter 10, right next door, in chapter 10. And in I'll read verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For reason, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, a machine gun or something, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the word mighty is the word power. Mighty, power. They give you power, might. Mighty through God, giving us power through God. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that real and right in the sphere of God's wonderful person. So, now, having said that, now you got that part. Now, God, what do we need to do with that little bit of information? Over to the Gospel of John. And in chapter 5, as you would know, Gospel of John, chapter 5. And in chapter 5, picking up, please, and I'm going to read verse 18 for context. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. That's our Lord. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. And what did the Jews understand? Making himself equal with God. They weren't stupid about it. They know what he just said. They just said he was God. He just said he was God. 19. Then answered Jesus to help them and said unto them, verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So the perfect man of our Lord Jesus Christ went and did honor God in a perfect way. And he did what? He honored the Father's word and the Father's will, the Father's life. The purpose of his humanity was to bring and expose us to God. God's humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity, God found in his humanity a way to express fully God's invisible person. so we could see the infinite, invisible God in a human being. Jesus Christ, in his humanity, is that. He's that. So therefore, I do nothing of myself. What are we supposed to do? We're made in the image and likeness of God. That's what we are. And we're to express and enjoy. We aren't a moose. We aren't a platypus. We aren't some other animal. No. No, those are just animals. You and I were made in the image and likeness of God. We were made for God to enjoy his awesome person in the human life, because he made a human life able to find a home for God, to find a home, to find a house, to find a place that he would be able to go and show his awesome person, to display his awesome person in a human being. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants. That's his purpose. That's what heaven is all about. Forever. Forever and what? Enjoying God. So I'm going to get bored. No, you aren't. You'll never get bored. You couldn't be in forever. Now, when would God run out of things to show us? What part of forever would God run out of his wonderful, glorious person? Never. Never. You'll never be bored. God is going to show and demonstrate his awesomeness, and it will take forever for you and I to enjoy it. It's all about God. Now, so therefore, point. Jesus said, I can do nothing. Perfect humanity. So what are we supposed to be doing? The Spirit of God is going to come and empower, give us the exercise of life, the life of the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to give us that relationship that we can enjoy it. We're to exercise it. When we do that, it isn't exercised about us. No flesh shall glory in his presence. It's about God. About God enjoying himself in your heart. That's what he's doing. In your heart. And that's what it's all about. Now, having said that, and I do nothing of myself, he said. Verse 31, as you know. 30. Chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do, and there's that little word again, nasty little word, nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If, and I may or may not, if I bear witness to myself, my witness is not true. It isn't about us humans. That's what I tried to the other day. So it isn't about us. It isn't about what I can be and have and do and everything. It isn't about that. It's about God and your enjoyment of the relationship. And it's all about God. And so when we start emphasizing ourselves, God goes down and we come up. It's not about us. It's about God's awesome person. And that's what we try to demonstrate in our little feeble way here. That's all we're doing. God's awesome person. And it isn't about showpiece. We aren't trying to be showpieces. It isn't about that. No. No, it's about him. So, and therefore, oh, and chapter 8, we'll do that one just to lock it in. We've done all these for all these years, so we just... And in 20 more years, it'll eventually sink into our little heads. You know, it'll get there. Just takes time. Chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up, crucified, the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So what do you want? God's, so what do we know? Believers, what are we doing? We want God's will for our life and God to outwork that will in his most wonderful, wonderful way for us, that we would be the beneficiaries. And therefore, and to see this a little differently, over to chapter 14. Remember chapter 13, verse 33, get the movement. Chapter 13, verse 33, Gospel of John. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews. Whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, where I'm going, you can't come yet. You can't come. You can't come. So, boy, we're going to be left alone. And that was with Peter's concern. We're going to be left alone. We can't follow you. No, you're going to be left here. And what else are you doing to help us? Remember, the Spirit of God's going to come. Chapter 14, 16, 17, the Spirit of God. And then you need 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The word comfortless is fatherless, without a father, without a father, without a father. I'll not leave you without the Father. No. You're going to what? You're going to do nothing of yourself. You're going to learn to what? I told you, you're saved. You're going to enjoy God's wonderful person. And how am I going to enjoy? He's going to be. Look at verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God, what are you going to do? You're going to bring us to the Father. I will not leave you without the Father. John chapter 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Keep going now, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place, mansions, make thy abiding place with him. So the Spirit of God, verse 18, chapter 14, 18, I will not leave you fatherless. In fact, I'm going to bring the Father right smack dab into your heart. When I come in, my Father comes in, and the Spirit of God comes in. When I come in, you're not going to be without a Father. In fact, for the first time, you're going to be with the Father in a very wonderful, wonderful way. You're going to know him as your Father. He's going to be your Father. And therefore, John 6 and all, Matthew 6 and all of that. You have, the world doesn't have that relationship, but the believing heart does. And you have a Heavenly Father that knoweth your need before you ever ask him. You have the Father. Exercise the relationship. Spirit of God's wonderful person is to make all of that work and all of that real in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, over to John chapter 15. We have done this many times. Nothing, 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 nothing. All the years. But you know, you have to keep reading it until it sinks in. Without me, you can do nothing. We hear it, but we can do. And what we can do, God, I can do. See, God says, no, you can't do. You can't exercise the life that I... You can't exercise your relationship to God in and of and by yourself. You don't have it. So you don't have it. But we do have it. So you have to keep saying it to us again and again. John chapter 15, going to verse 5 for time. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do... That little word, nothing. I keep saying it. That's right. Say, well, I can do. No, you can't. So you can't. I went to school and did everything. No, you can't do it. You can't. That's in your... Paul. Paul demonstrates that. If you're going to have humans something, boy, you better pass Paul. And Paul said, none of it's all dung. It's no good. It's no good. No flesh shall glory in my presence. No means no, doesn't it? No means no. Even the Apostle Paul, over to 2 Corinthians 12, I think. And in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. Now listen to Paul. Paul the Apostle, who said, I count it all but dung. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying, for you have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. You should have seen, understood what am I doing in front of you. I'm trying to help you. I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, Peter, James, John. I'm right with them. But I am nothing. The end. Though I be nothing. That's right. I'm just as Peter, John, I'm right with them. But I am nothing. Nothing. Because it isn't about that. It's about God, his wonderful person. So, having said that, over to chapter 40 in Isaiah. And in chapter 40, picking up, if I may, in a wonderful, wonderful section, just let it get to us so you see it. Chapter 40, chapter 40, verse 45, speaking of, remember John the Baptist pointed to the Lord Jesus. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So here's chapter 40, Isaiah, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it altogether. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, etc. Now you're going to read. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof. It is the flower of the field. It's here, gone to here today, gone tomorrow. Verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord, the word of God, shall stand forever. Us, human flesh, no flesh shall glory in my presence. Now, having slide over to verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. So all the nations are just a drop of water in a bucket, a piece of dust. Here's the great Roman Empire, and here's the Grecian Empire, and here's the Russian Empire, China. There are nothing, just a drop, piece of dust. Hang on. Now, so, verse 19, and worketh, this is the people make idols, I'll read verse 17. All nations before him are as, what was the word we just were looking at? Nothing. Nothing. All nations are nothing. Oh, there's something. No, no, they're nothing. And they are counted to him less than, less. What's less? How much is less than nothing? That's a test. Less than nothing. If you have nothing and take away nothing, how much have you got left? Let's see. Less than nothing. And vanity. To whom then will you liken me, God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Sliding down with time. Verse 20. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, no oblation sacrifice, chooseth the tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning a workman to prepare a graven image that shall not move. In other words, we're going to get into idolatry. Since we can't get to God, and God won't take us and make us what we want to be, since God said, I die on the cross to save you. I didn't come to make you little gods. So if you aren't going to make me a little god, I'll make my own god. I'll make my god, my idols. I'll make them so that I will be recognized. Now, I believe, I worship so-and-so. So now, and verse 21, have ye not known, have you not heard, hath it not been told you from the beginning? From the beginning. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them as a tent to dwell in. And just think of when God created, here's the earth, and then God did all the rest of it, all around it. And here's the circle. And the earth was never flat. So if you sailed out of the Mediterranean Sea and you got your little sailboat and you go out, and if I go past Rock of Gibraltar, the earth falls off. The earth falls off. I'll fall off the edge, you see. Now, if they just read, they would have known the circle of the earth. The map, the old maps, you know, the old maps. And then don't go past here because you'll fall off. You got the idea. So now, God, what are you going to do? I put the circle of the earth. I did it. Now, hang on. Now, verse 24. Yea, shall not he be planted, yea, shall not be sown, yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble, all of man's idolatry. To whom then will you liken me? Shall I be equal, saith the Lord? Tell me who, God, you aren't like anybody. You're God. Verse 26, lift up your eyes and high. Behold, who has created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by name, by thy greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. All the stars do what they do. And we mentioned it the other day, but in a little more detail. All the stuff they're doing off of Mars and the new scopes out there, way out in space, taking pictures of the universe. So the radius of the observable, here's all the universe. That which we can see, the observable universe, radius is 46.5 billion light years. You got that? The radius, here's the diameter, circle, here's the radius, half of it. 46.5 billion light years, okay? Now, I assume if you take the diameter, then it's going to be 93. point billion light years. In a light year, 186,281 miles per second, 6 trillion miles a year. Now, this is, now what do you see? Here's, they measured. This is what we see in this circle as we look at the stars. And now, and we shared it the other day, up to, I don't know how they do it, there's 100 trillion galaxies. 100 trillion T galaxies that we see. I don't know how you see 100 trillion myself. I really don't. You have to have good eyesight. I mean, I have to tell you, to even begin to count. By the time I got to 1,000, I lost the whole thing anyway, let alone to get to 1,000,000 and 1,000,000,000 and 1,000,000,000,000. Only the government can go to 1,000,000,000,000. Only the government can do that. Now, so God said, I threw the stars in space. I just wanted you, I'm impressed. And the world's telling you, you want to be impressed. You want to be impressed. Yeah. God said, I name them all. I name them all. I do. Yeah. Because he's God. Uh-huh. So God, what are you trying to tell us? It isn't about us. Us. God died on the cross to save us. So God, what are you going to do? You're going to do a wonderful thing and help us enjoy. You're our creator. Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph. You're our creator. And you're the only savior. You're our God. And you want us to enjoy. You created us to enjoy your awesome person. Yep. That's what I did. That's what I did. So when you sit in your chair at home, that's what God wants. I want to find you. I want you, little old you and me, to enjoy me. That's what God said. So now, further, just so you see it, because I think it's wonderful myself. Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over them, passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that look to God, hang on to God, wait upon God, they that wait upon God shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Life. I want them to have the power of an endless life. God's life. And that's what God wants. I want you to enjoy eternity in your little old heart right now. You say, you are already in heaven. You aren't going to have more heaven, just going to find me. A little different. You already got heaven. You're already there. And you start living like that. Makes a difference. Just makes a difference. Now, so God help us. So therefore, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if I can, here's all these galaxies, as you know, and the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth showeth his handiwork. So, in closing, we can't do it. Okay. Well, at least a little. Over to John, Book of Isaiah, chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. May I go directly to verse 2. Behold, God is my... This is during the kingdom when Christ is reigning. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Why? For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. God, I have discovered what it means for deliverance, for salvation, for the help, for provision, for all that you are. You have become my salvation. You're my Savior. You provide everything. And here in this particular place, the Lord Jehovah is the little abbreviation for the word Lord, J-A-H, first and last letter of the full word, and then Jehovah, two together, Jah, Jehovah, Yah, Yahweh, two together, power, God says. That's what he says. I can't get a stop. It's a wonderful, we'll look at it. If the Lord tarries, if the Lord doesn't tarry, you won't have to know. You'll know better than I can ever tell you. Anyway, thank you. And trust God help you. Thank you.